Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, most comprehensive Steelers site on the internet, and I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh. Dave, interesting game last night. Baltimore wins, as we all expected, 23-16, but a game effort from Cleveland. I think there's something to see there in Brandon Weeden. He did some good things and some bad things, but what was your overall takeaway?
I thought the Ravens should have put them away. They had several chances to put them away, and they didn't. It was amazing how much they rely on that deep ball, I thought, instead of, relying a little bit more on Ray Rice. As far as the Browns went, Weeden, man, what a one-look quarterback he is, but that's to kind of be expected, a rookie season from a, I don't want to use the word kid based on his age, but I wasn't very impressed. It seemed when they went short, a more shorter, crisper passing game and started using the running back, the kid out of the backfield there, Trent Richardson, it seemed to work better. And in fact, I think I tweeted during the game, I was surprised they didn't go more kind of two wide receiver sets, which they eventually, I think, did and used their tight end more. But Greg Little, oh, boy, that kid, and I talked about this last year, him and his hands, that kid's got a mental problem he's got to get past. But in the end, the Baltimore, Cleveland had a chance to win that game, and the inability to at least give his guys a chance in the end zone on that final play shows the rookie in Weeden there. But, the Ravens were supposed to win that game, and they did.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, I think I came away a little more impressed with Cleveland than you did from the sound of it. No question, Weeden made mistakes in the game. The last pass was a terrible mistake not to keep that ball in the field of play. The pick six was a good play by Kerry Williams, but he threw it a little behind him, and that's, ended up being the difference in the game. And he's coming out of a system at Oklahoma State that, you're right, it was a one-look guy, but he clearly has the arm to make all the throws, and his receivers dropped seven passes, and, I don't think he was that bad. I've seen him play now a couple times, and he has the potential to be at least an average NFL quarterback.
He should have had two or three more picks in that game, though, too. So let's.
Sure, but every quarterback can say that every game. I mean, Flacco should have had three last game that the New England guys didn't catch. So, I mean, I think that's kind of standard procedure in the NFL. Think he's going to be any good? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that right now. I'm saying he looks exactly like a rookie right now, and, I reserve judgment later on, but I wasn't overly impressed. He does throw a good ball. I will admit that. He's got good arm strength. He's going to have to go through his progressions much better and get a lot more comfortable in that offense. And if Cleveland blows things up again after this season, which is possible with the new owner coming in, two offenses in two seasons won't help him any.
No, it doesn't. But we've seen, like you said, he's 29 years old. He's a year older than Joe Flacco. When you hear him speak, he's clearly got the maturity level and he has the arm. I'm assuming he's a reasonably bright guy. We'll see. I think there's probably more potential in this guy than in Colt McCoy, so I can see why he's playing.
Definitely more potential there. He needs more weapons around him. Trent Richardson's going to be a fine NFL running back. I don't think anybody's ever doubted that.
Yep. And, in the rain on a night game, nationally televised, I was expecting worse, let's put it that way. So in that sense, I thought it was reasonably good. Dave, I'm going to do some stuff on the radio today talking about how it's really interesting to me how we're seeing the two powers of the AFC North, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, change at exactly the same time. Flacco talked about it after the game. They're more of a passing team. They want to go up-tempo, keep the defense off balance. And we're seeing the same thing in Pittsburgh. The Baltimore defense still has talented players like Nada and Lewis and Reed, but they don't have Suggs, and they're missing some guys. And the Steeler defense has been weak in the first 3 weeks of the season, particularly on the road. And you look at it and you say, wow, isn't it interesting? We think of Pittsburgh and Baltimore playing 13-6 games and 16-14 games, and maybe we should start thinking about the games being 31-28 because the quarterback and the receivers, and give good credit to Bolden and Torrey Smith, they both had very good games, that offense may carry the day in the AFC North now.
You know, they seem to be almost like a year behind us. They're more vertical now with the reliant on the deep ball, it seems, like the Steelers were under Bruce Arians the last several years. And the Steelers now are kind of a more compact, you know, offensive threat through the air and all. We've seen that with Ben Roethlisberger through the first three games, who, by the way, can't understate it or overstate it enough. He has been amazing through the first 3 weeks of the season so far. I think, you know, Baltimore has two very talented tight ends in Dixon and Dennis Pitta. That makes them dangerous when they like to run that diesel package of theirs, which is the 12 personnel. I think, and one thing that I've said several times, when Wesley Saunders comes off suspension, I think you'll see the Steelers try to use a little bit more 12 personnel than they have through the first three games of the season as well. But let's face it, both, as you said, both defenses are not the defenses of the last 4 or 5, 6 years there, and the offenses for both teams are going to have to win the games for them, I believe, this year.
Yep, the offenses are better. You said something there at the beginning that I was going to maybe take issue with, and now it's escaped my mind. What was the first point you made there?
The vertical passing game, more of the deeper passing game the Ravens have.
I think that's right.
A year behind the Steelers in that regard.
No, I think that's right too. I can't remember what it was, but I wanted to talk to you about what you said about Ben. No question, Ben's numbers are extraordinary, and he's probably been as good as any quarterback in the NFL. But let me ask it very simply: nobody's going to put the two road losses on Ben, but he did have the ball in the Denver game with 3 minutes to go around the 40-yard line and threw an interception for a touchdown. And he did have the ball in the Oakland game with, they got an offensive penalty, and then they had a sack in the next series. But he had the ball with 6 minutes to go and a chance to put it away. Ben has to take some responsibility for the Steelers not winning those games.
Absolutely. The interception against Denver was a bad read and a bad throw. Absolutely. You can put that on him. It takes execution on offense, though, in the game against the Raiders. Getting sacked, normally he would like to have that throw back, I think, that final one to Mike Wallace and make it again, but he was under duress there. So I'm not ready to say, a lot has been written, especially after the Denver game, that Ben no longer has the ability to drive teams down the field to win the ball game. So
that's just silly talk.
You know, but and until he does it again, you're always it's the last time that you did it. So, he does accept. Some of that does go on him. But let's face it, as a whole in that game, the offense did not help him out. Jonathan Dwyer put the ball on the carpet once. Antonio Brown put the ball on the carpet there. Those were. The Steelers could just as easily be 3-0 here as opposed to 1-2. But, I'm willing to accept that Ben has by no means been perfect. I mean, we saw him at the beginning of this Raiders game. He was off on his passes and his receivers bailed him out on him. But he got better, much better as the game went on. And, when you look at that one play in particular, the touchdown to Wallace in the game against the Raiders, that's Ben. If you don't have Ben Roethlisberger back there, you're not making that play.
Yeah, and so, Dave, let's talk about the Steelers. Obviously, they've been off since practice Tuesday and Wednesday. They're off until Monday. We don't know a lot that we did pretty much the same stuff. For you and I, the big news would be that Bill Parisi, James Harrison's agent, has said there's a setback. A minor setback is the phrase he used. The Post-Gazette turned it into a big story. I don't know what to make of it, because when you say there's a setback, it could mean for everything, for anything from there's another bone spur to just the swelling was a little more than we anticipated, or he thought he was going to be fine and he wasn't fine. So hard to know what to make of it, but the door is still very or the window is still very cloudy as to what James Harrison's situation is and when he's going to be ready. And we look at the Wednesday practice wasn't significant. Maybe they just decided another day of rest was more important than testing it, so he has 5 days off instead of four. But we don't know anything more than we did, and the fact that he didn't go again can't be looked at as good news, so we'll take it as negative news.
You know how I've made my feelings known about this for a while. I took hell at the beginning, early in the offseason, saying that this guy was going to miss games this year. I took hell for saying that this would likely be the final year of him in the black and gold as well, too. What got me the most is, why did he have to leave practice early and at least not, go through some of the reps, mental reps there, and hang around with the teammates there. You know, Bill Parisi did say that it was a setback there, so that's not good. Spin that however you want to spin that. That's not good. The guy was unable to. He practiced fully the one day, turned around and admitted on Twitter that the next day of practice was key for him. That he hoped to get through it. He couldn't do that. That leads you to believe that something else is going on with that knee there. And, of course, he's not been ruled out for the Eagles game. And, of course, we're not going to hear from Mike Tomlin until Tuesday on this. But it's not a good sign at all, David. And you know, I've used the word microfracture surgery, and that's 100% speculation on my part. I want to make people very aware of that, because I think some people read some things in my post and take that as fact. But I clearly point out that speculation. But it's not good news that he is unable to practice 2 days in a row, nearly 2 months removed now from that knee procedure.
Yep, well said. Okay, and all the other injury news is positive in the sense that we know Ziggy went back to practice. We know that he got cut and it looked bad, but he seems to be okay. Polamalu practiced, Mendenhall practiced, Sylvester practiced. The only question mark is Marcus Gilbert, who played most of the second half, but he's got that right groin injury. Hopefully 5 days off suits him well, and we'll get more from the Steelers with the practice Monday. We'll, of course, get the Mike Tomlin press conference Tuesday, and then with the game coming up on Sunday, we'll get the official injury report from the Steelers on Wednesday. That will probably be the most clarity that we have, but maybe Mike Tomlin will give us some insight Tuesday at the press conference. Dave, the other thing that good job by you, and this is a story you and I have both tried to chase down and understand, and we've asked a lot of people, and I've gotten different answers, and we finally got the right answer, I guess, from Wes Saunders himself. I had thought that the 4-game suspension meant a 4-week suspension in the NFL because they wanted to fine him a certain amount, essentially. And it turns out it's a 4-game suspension. And the fact of the matter, because the Steelers have their bye so early, this actually is a little disadvantageous for Wes Saunders, because I'm guessing he's missing this game check as well, this week's check as well, of $27,000. But maybe it works out that he gets that check and not the next one. Who knows exactly? But he's not going to be available for the Eagle game, and the Steelers will have to figure out the roster situation after that.
Well, initially when this suspension was announced, I was running with it as a 4-game suspension. And then Bouchette and a few others, posted, I think Bouchette on the Insider blog on Post Gazette posted that, no, this is a 4-week suspension. So, who am I to argue there? And I started to get more word, kind of last week, and that's what I stated in that last podcast was, there's no clarity here that there might be a misunderstanding that it might actually be 4 games. Now we know that 4 games means 4 games and not 4 weeks. So unfortunate there. David Paulson gets a reprieve, I guess, for a week on this roster. Of course, a lot of things can happen as far as injury goes in the Eagles game there. But, yeah, we're going to have to wait until the one more game until Wesley Saunders is back there. And like you said, I'm willing to bet it cost him five paychecks out of this. So he kind of got hurt by the bye week there.
Yeah, the more I think about it, though, you'd think the NFL would want to be equitable in that. And so that's just a scheduling quirk. You wouldn't think that a guy who gets suspended, let's say somebody got suspended later in the year and didn't miss a bye, only suffers 4-game checks, and Saunders suffers 5 for a 4-game suspension. You would think that's random enough that the NFL might reimburse him for that bye week. I'm betting at the end of the day, that's if he files a grievance, that would be the right thing to do, because he shouldn't get fined for the schedule maker making the schedule like that.
Yeah, we'll have to. I don't know if that'll ever come out. I'll try to sniff it out down the line. But regardless, 4 games is 4 games.
All right, Dave. Around the league, we had the game last night. We've got some interesting matchups this week, and we'll get to our picks in a second. But anything kind of overarching stuff? We saw the other topic that's come out is how predictable is the Steeler defense? A comment from Derek Hagan of the Raiders. We talked about it a little bit on Wednesday. But, it's a bye week. There's not a ton of Steeler news. And, of course, I'm going to take advantage and take the weekend out of town and take Monday off. So we are a little short on time, and I'm just wondering what else you got for me.
Dwyer going to be the odd man out when Mendenhall returns?
I think so, yeah, and I think it's unfortunate, and you hate to just point to the fumble, but it's almost that simple. Redmond, a little bit of a different back in what he brings, a little bit bigger. Dwyer is maybe Rashard Mendenhall light when they're both healthy, and Rainey and Batch bring different skill sets as well. So I think that's probably the best guess.
That's my guess as well, too. Baron Batch gives you more of a Mawaldi Moore type back. Been absolutely fantastic out of the backfield and in pass protection, in my opinion. No way he's down, especially the way he contributes on special teams. You mentioned Redmond, more of the power back of the two. Mendenhall will be eased into action, I think, at first against the Eagles with his role increasing as time goes by there. But, yeah, I think it is as simple as Dwyer putting the ball on the carpet or on the grass in that game against the Raiders there. He's going to be on the inactive list, I think, going forward here for the next several weeks because, of course, you're not going to make Chris Rainey inactive, going forward as well, too. So
I think the only thing there will be, depending on, Isaac Redman's talked about not being 100%, and you just wonder if maybe if he gets a week off that he gets to be 100%. We'll find out. But, yeah, I'm with you on all those things. I think that's probably the way they go. And, you know, one of the other things to note is if the Steelers do get these guys healthy, that's going to hopefully improve their special teams. Their special teams was solid the first two games. In fact, good kick return coverage, bad against the on the two kicks against the game they lost to the Raiders. But it means guys like Chris Carter and Ryan Mundy potentially can be on special teams. They're probably not on as much when they're getting a starting role. So just when we talk about getting guys back, it's not just there's a trickle-down effect that tends to be positive as well.
Yeah, you got Sylvester coming back too, who is a big special teams guy, which probably means, Adrian Robinson probably going to be inactive in his place moving forward as well too. So there should be no mystery, I wouldn't think, when we start projecting the inactives for the Eagles game. But I'm with you. All that sounds about right there. A few loose notes here. Ryan Mundy, of course, $21,000 fine for his hit on Darius Hayward Bay. I'll ask you first, is that justifiable there? And second, the eight individuals with ties to the Steelers named as 2000 or class of 2013 candidates for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think Mundy's fine is perfectly acceptable. It's a black and white issue, and he nicked him with the helmet, and he's going to pay the fine. He didn't try to do it, but it's just the way it is. I'm going to do a piece on the show today comparing Bill Cowher and Marty Schottenheimer, both Pittsburgh guys, both coaches eligible for the Hall of Fame. I thought that was interesting. The other guys are Jerome Bettis. I think he makes it. I don't know if he makes it this year. Kevin Green, I don't think he ever makes it. Gary Anderson, I think that kick that he missed in his perfect season in Minnesota that would have sent them to the Super Bowl probably against the Falcons may cost him ever being in the Hall of Fame. Who else are the ties?
Let's see. We got Bud Carson, I know, former Steelers defensive coordinator. Buddy Parker, old coach of the Steelers pre-Super Bowl era, of course. Jeff Hardings. Jeff Hardings has no chance, in my opinion. And Art Rooney Jr.
Yeah, I think I mentioned the guys who I think are worth mentioning. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think Bettis is Bettis and Cowher. Of course, Cowher, we don't know if he's done yet. Bettis and Cowher would be the two on that list, at least initially here in 2013.
Okay, Dave, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back, and our audio is going to change a little bit. I'm going to have to do this from the car because I got to run, but we'll be back at you in a second with our picks for the week. You've been listening to David Dave on the Terrible Podcast.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. We're going mobile right now. It's a Friday, a bye week. It means I'm getting out of town. Dave, you got any special plans? You just going to kick back and watch all the college and NFL football you can?
I left the house, ran a couple of errands earlier today for about 45 minutes, and I don't plan on leaving the house for another couple of weeks.
All right, good stuff. Well, I'll take care of business on the outside and take care of business on the inside. We both went 0-1. Well, first of all, I didn't think it could get a lot worse than week one, and I came out shooting blanks in week three. I came out shooting blanks in week three. I think I went something like 4-12. That's about as embarrassing as it gets.
I think I went, I think I had three losses, so good week for me. I think 13-3 for me last week.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep the scorecard going because I think you were 2 or 3 up on me going in, and it sounds like you might have gotten me by 8 or 9. I remember we were getting those first six games wrong. Of course, I was making picks assuming the regular refs were going to be in there, and of course, everything would have been different.
Of course. I just kicked your ass this week.
And the man too.
Although the man got both of us last night.
Yes, he did. I got to say, the Green Bay one was a tough one for me because, you know, there is such thing as really chasing it, making that bridge bet. You know what a bridge bet is. It's you bet so much that if you lose, you're going to jump off a bridge. So, you know, the chasing it thing, and apparently $150 million changed hands from one side to the other in that Green Bay-Seattle game. And I'm willing to venture that number was significantly higher. I know some guys who well, let's just say they're still not kind of walking around very happy right now.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into the games this week. We got New England at Buffalo. I'm showing the we're going to go with the lines that
four.
I've got 4.5. So what do you want to use, 4.5 or 4?
Yeah, sure, 4.5. I like the Patriots here. I think the Bills are improving. You know, we see the first game of the season and oftentimes make big decisions, and sometimes if you don't see those teams play again for a while, that's still the impression that's in your mind. But the Bills defense seems to have gotten it together, and they do have a ferocious front four with Kyle Williams and Mario Williams on that front four, and a couple other good players as well. But this is an important game for New England. It's a division game. It's on the road. They got a tough loss on last Sunday night. So I think they take care of business in this one. I'll lay the 4.5.
I'll lay in the 4.5 with you as well too. I think the Buffalo team we don't have a good grasp on. Getting some bodies back, maybe they get C.J. Spiller back this week along with Fred Jackson, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think New England takes care of business on the road. Minnesota.
Sounds like Jackson's a no from what I heard yesterday.
Yeah, and that would not be surprising. The other kid, Spiller, it's kind of quick to get him back. So I think they're left with Tashard Choice over there. And I'm not too, I think they need more than that. So, yeah, New England lay the points there. Minnesota at Detroit, 4.5 there, David. Detroit favorite at home.
It sounds like Matthew Stafford's a game-time decision. Sean Hill's a capable backup. Very impressive result by Minnesota, beating San Francisco at home. This was supposed to be a transition year for them. Christian Ponder's got off to a good start. But I'm still going to take Detroit because of the home field. Vegas clearly, 4.5 and 5.5 numbers are Vegas numbers where they're not quite sure. They want to see where the action goes. I will, with not a ton of conviction, but I'll lay the points with the home team.
I'm going to go the opposite way from you. I like what Minnesota's doing. I think Ponder's coming around. Detroit secondary, I just don't like what they've got going on there. I think Minnesota's going to be able to exploit them a little bit through the air. Stafford, I'm kind of worried about his health. So give me Minnesota plus the points here in this game. Let's move on. Carolina at Atlanta here. I'm showing basically 7 here. The Falcons favorite at home against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
Let it rip. Go ahead.
I like what the Falcons. You know, I'm a big fan of the Falcons outside of the Steelers. Yeah, I really like what they're doing there. Julio Jones, I think, has a big game in this. I didn't like the way what's going on, what I'm hearing, even though it's rumblings between Cam Newton and Steve Smith. I think Atlanta's doing a phenomenal job on defense there. I think they're going to confuse them. So I'll lay the points with Atlanta at home.
I agree with everything you said, and Atlanta has impressed me this year, and I have to say that. I just think Carolina needs to play a good game. After the stinker they played against the Giants on national TV at home, I think a division game, it's important that they're physical, that Jonathan Stewart back, hopefully, and that they come out and play well. So I think Atlanta wins the game, but I'm gonna bet on Carolina keeping this close, so I'll take the touchdown.
All right, we got San Francisco traveling east to play the New York Tebow Sanchez's.
I got a little piece of info for you, Dave. This is a little insider knowledge. I haven't heard other people talk about it, even though I think it's generally known. San Francisco played in Minnesota last week, and they did this last year. They didn't actually fly home. They went to Youngstown, Ohio, the home of the Bartolos, who used to own the club, and spent 3 days there, 4 days there practicing before heading on to New York. So the whole time zone thing shouldn't be an issue. This was a good bonding thing for them early in the year last year, so they decided to do it again. So I look at this, and I think coming off the loss, not really having the travel factor, having the week together, that they're going to smoke the Jets. I think we'll see more Tebow. We're obviously not going to see Revis again this year. I think this Jets team starts to spiral right this week.
Okay, so you have San Francisco laying – what do you want to go with here, 4?
Just 3 points, yeah, 4.5, I think, 4.5.
Okay,
four, yeah.
Yeah, always take the lower number. I'll take, you know what, I think the Jets do something in this game because it's at home. I think it's a low-scoring game. I didn't like what San Francisco did last week against Minnesota there. I just got a funny feeling about this game. Something's not right about this line. I kind of smell a little bit of a rat here. Give me the Jets plus the 4. San Diego, big game in the AFC West, San Diego versus Kansas City. Kansas City really did a good job hanging around with New Orleans last week, enough so that they ended up winning the game. This game, San Diego's on the road at Kansas City. This is really a one-point game, San Diego favored on the road by 1.
Yeah, this is an interesting game because I think a lot of people expected Kansas City to be good this year, to be competitive, and they would be competitive because of their defense. And their defense hasn't been good. But Jamaal Charles, I think, is a really underrated back in the NFL. Matt Castle is a serviceable quarterback. He's certainly not a good quarterback at this point. But I think this team rallies at home. They've always been tough at home. San Diego really disappointed me in that performance against Atlanta at home last weekend. I think both these teams walk out of this 2-2, so I'll take the point and take the home team.
I'm going to take San Diego and lay the point. I think they're just going to be too strong in this game. I just the difference is going to be the quarterback, in my opinion, in this game. I don't know how better to describe that. I think it comes down to a battle of quarterbacks here. Tennessee, what a game that was they were involved with last week. They go on a road, a big divisional game, taking on the Houston Texans. This is pretty much 12 across the board, the Texans' favorite at home.
Lay it. Gee, I'm riding Houston. Tell me not to.
You know what? I think Tennessee does just enough in this game. I think Houston wins this game. I think Tennessee, something fluky happens here, with an extra point or something like that, missed field goal or something like that. So give me Tennessee plus the points in this game. Seattle on the road at St. Louis. Boy, Seattle really got after Aaron Rodgers last week. I'm a big fan of that defense, not so much of the offense. All that being said, Seattle looking like a 3-point road favorite here against the Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams again. I thought they did well against Washington last week. I think Seattle is ferocious defensively. Again, can't forget that Russell Wilson is a rookie quarterback, and I think the Rams can do enough here. So I do like Seattle a lot. I think they're a good team, but I'm going to take the Rams.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to go with you on this as well, too. I haven't been overly impressed with Russell Wilson. I mean, he's got poise and all like that, but, boy, their offense just sure didn't seem like they wanted to be able to move the ball last week. They're going to rely on their defense again this week. I think it's going to be close. I think they probably even win this game, Seattle does. But I think it's a 1 or 2 point game. So give me St. Louis at home plus the points.
Okay, we agree on one.
I think we've agreed on a few of them here.
Yeah.
Miami travels out to Pittsburgh West to take on the Arizona Cardinals, who, turn around. They're 3-0 right now. I wouldn't have predicted that at the start of the season. Kevin Kolb is a daddy again, so he got the baby out of the way there, so that's not going to be a worry. The Cardinals looking like 5.5 home favorites against the Dolphins.
I don't say back up the truck often, but Ryan Tannehill against this Arizona defense, it's time to take the mortgage out. I don't love Arizona, but they're at home. I think this defense, they crushed Michael Vick last week. I think they crushed Ryan Tannehill. I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins don't score 10 points. So this is one to get on.
I'm with you on this. I like what Ray Horton's done with the defense over there. I think they'll do some things that'll really, really confuse Tannehill. Reggie Bush is a little banged up. I think expected to play in this game. But Miami just does not have the firepower, I don't think. I think the goal will be to shut Reggie Bush down in this game, make Ryan Tannehill beat you, and I don't think he'll be able to. So I'll take Arizona, and I'm with you. I'll lay the 5.5 there. Oakland coming off their win against the Steelers, playing the Peyton Manning at home at Denver. This is a touchdown game on the board right now. Denver favored at home by 7. And you know what? I like what Carson Palmer did last week. Peyton Manning, I think some teams are going to look at that film from what Atlanta did. I still think Denver wins this game. But you know what? Give me Oakland plus the touchdown here.
Yeah, I think this is a hard call for me. I agree with everything you said. I'm just going to say that the Oakland secondary is beat up enough and not talented enough that in a shootout, the Broncos cover the 7. I'll take Denver.
Okay. Remember, Denver's going to be without, I think, Joe Mays, inside linebacker there.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about Joe Mays. But yes, that is a good point.
Let's see. So we're different there. Cincinnati on the road going to Jacksonville there. This one's kind of scattered. I don't know what you want to go with right here. I'm seeing Cincinnati anywhere.
2.5. 2.5 is what I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen it as high as 3. I've seen it as low as 1. So we'll go with the 2.5 there. Cincinnati on the road favored against the Jaguars.
I'll take the Bengals.
That simple, huh?
Yep. I just don't think Jacksonville's good. Just that simple. I don't think Gavitt's that good. I don't want to bet off. I'll take Cincinnati.
This is the one that I think it's a load-up game on, too. I think Dalton's just going to be too strong along with A.J. Green there. I don't think Jacksonville is going to be able to put the points up in this game. So give me Cincinnati to lay the points in this game. New Orleans, 0-3. Who would have thought that to start the season here? But they still have all the bodies involved there. Their defense can't stop anything. If New Orleans is going to win this game, they better shut off the scoreboard, I think. Traveling out to Green Bay, 7.5 on this. Green Bay at home, New Orleans would go to 0-4, which by all practical purposes would end their season.
I think the season's over. Green Bay, they're not catching Green Bay at a good time. You lose a game like that, I think you want to come out, show something to your home fans. Home fans are going to give them a lot of support. They're going to work on protecting Aaron Rodgers a little better, and I think they'll do it. I think they totally win this game handily.
I think Green Bay wins this game. I think Drew Brees and the firepower that he has, though, has enough to keep this close in a shootout. So give me New Orleans plus the points in this game. We are talking about New Orleans and Drew Brees here. So I think this is going to be a shootout. Over-under on this is 53.5, by the way. That's a tough one to kind of chew on right there. Washington, RG3 travels to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay favored at home here. Seeing 2.5 on this, David. Tampa Bay at home over the Redskins.
This is another one I like, the home team here. RG3 is a good quarterback, but I was surprised watching that game playing the Rams, much like the Eagles game against Arizona. RG3 got killed. And they're running some option plays with him. And what the Rams did and other teams should do as well, and the Steelers are going to see this later in the year, is whether he keeps the ball or not, they should be hitting him. And he took some shots, just like Michael Vick took some shots. That's going to take its toll over the course of the season. I think this Bucs team is solid defensively. They played very well against Dallas. They're not going to score a ton of points, but I'll take them home laying less than a simple.
I tell you, in that game last week, the Redskins against the Bengals there, I really liked the poise that RG3 showed kind of late in that game there. Kind of, had a chance to kind of take them down there, but didn't get it done. Give me RG3 in this game alone, and give me Washington plus the points in this game. New York Giants, let's see. I'm seeing a 1-point game here, 1.5 at max here. Giants, a dog.
Eagles favorite.
Yeah, Eagles favorite here. Eagles at home here.
This is the Sunday night special. This is a great divisional game. It's a game for Steeler fans to watch because the Eagles are their next opponent. They'll obviously play the Giants also later in the year. A very tough call. You see the Giants, when their backs are against the wall, they play great football. They look super against Carolina Eagles. tons of yards, tons of turnovers. That's not a recipe to win games, but I think they win this game at home. We just see teams, when they have to get wins at home, they tend to do it. So, I, you know, in a good game, but I think the Eagles nip them.
I'm going to go the other side here. I think Eli does enough in this game. I'm not sold on Philadelphia yet. They've been a very inconsistent team, in my opinion, turning the ball over. I think the Giants, you know, they've got some injuries there. I like the Brown kid that they've got at running back right now. I think the young kid, the receiver, who was it, Barden, stepped up.
Rams is Barden, yeah.
Yeah, stepped up for him. I like Victor Cruz and what's going on there. So give me the Giants to win this one. And we close it out with, let's see, what am I missing here? What's the...
Chicago at Dallas.
Chicago at Dallas.
Laying 3.5 on Monday night.
Yeah, Dallas is laying 3.5 at home Monday night against the Bears.
Give me the boys. Sooner or later, they're going to play a complete game. I think I keep excited. I thought they'd put up points against Tampa. They didn't. I'm still skeptical of the Bears' offensive line. I don't think they have enough. I'll take Dallas.
I think the Bears win this one outright, David. I think Cutler and Brandon Marshall get it on track this week and have a huge, huge game. I'm not sold on what Dallas is doing. I don't think Witten's still not 100% there. So give me the Bears plus the points here traveling to Dallas. And Jerry Jones is going to be wondering what's going on, I think, after this game.
Fair enough. A lot of differences again this week. Hopefully I do a little better against hopefully I do a little better this week.
Sounds good. Anything to wrap us up, David, before you get out of town?
No, we got a Facebook page up for the show now. David Todd Show, of course, Steelers Depot has a Facebook page as well. Like us both there. Follow us on Twitter, emails, and that's about all I got, Dave. What do you got?
Yeah, at Steelers Depot for me on Twitter, at Terrible Podcast, at David M. Todd to follow David. Make sure you're tuning into his show as well, too. David, are we doing a show Monday?
We are doing a show Monday. I might be live from New York. I might be live from Pittsburgh, but we will have something for you. We're just kind of recapping the week is where we'll head Monday.
All right, that sounds good then. And we'll schedule us a guest for Wednesday for the Philadelphia Eagles, a beat writer from their side as well, too. David, have a safe trip. Be careful in New York. Not too many pops. And definitely we'll talk to you on Monday. You want to take us out of here?
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.